Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Prime Minister Muhyiddin Yassin earlier today announced what his government is calling a national recovery plan. Now, the four-phased plan is based on three primary indicators to open up the economy and the social sector. The indicators are, number one, the number of daily COVID-19 cases, number two, ICU bed occupancy rates, and the third, vaccination levels. Now, some are already criticizing the plan for not going far enough. But what were we expecting from a recovery plan? We'll discuss over the next 30 minutes. Let's begin our conversation with Azrul Mohamed Khalib. He is the chief executive of the Gallen Center for Health and Social Policy, which is an independent policy research and advocacy organization. Azrul, good evening. Thank you for joining us on the show tonight. Wondering what your initial thoughts are for this national recovery plan. I mean, is this a lockdown easing plan or is it a 360 recovery plan? I'm just wondering whether you think the criteria and the primary indicators for the different phases make sense and whether these are, in fact, the correct metrics to be benchmarking the easing of lockdowns.
Well, good evening, Melissa and Sharad. Lots to say. I must say that I had mixed feelings when I heard about the recovery plan and looked through the speech. Positive in the sense that after more than a year of the government dealing with this public health emergency, we now see a roadmap out of this epidemic with clear indicators, milestones and phases which can be understood, which we could not previously. It's been negative for me because the roadmap appears incredibly optimistic. The timeframe and milestones appear to be unrealistic. We should instead be using those indicators which you just highlighted earlier, the following indicators. The first one would be the number of people who have completed the vaccinations. Second, the reduction in number of people needing hospitalization and deaths. And third, the number of infection rates, the infection rates which you mentioned, and in that order of priority. So unless the testing rate decreases, it's unlikely that we're going to be able to reduce the number of daily cases, even with the lockdown currently in place. Now, another point that I have to mention here, where we're setting ourselves really up for failure, is consider where we are today. 10% of the population have received at least one dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Only 4.3% have been fully vaccinated with two doses. Now, there are vaccines with three-week intervals, and then there are those with 8 to 12 weeks between the two doses. So we're not going to be able to even meet this indicator. So for me, it's a mixed bag.
Azrul, you know, the question of a recovery plan suggests that it's more than just whether lockdowns are ramped up or they eased, right? It has to do with a diagnosis of the damage that's been done, say, in the area of health and health infrastructure, or anticipating future needs because this pandemic might take a long time to wind down. And God knows there might be more pandemics to come. So do you see any of that in the plan or in the speech, a diagnosis of the damage done, what needs to be corrected, and investment in building back better?
Well, certainly none of that has been mentioned in the speech, simply because this is supposed to be a speech that is outlining the way forward for a roadmap to ease out of the current public health emergency that we're having. But we certainly anticipate that many of those points that you just raised will be highlighted in the upcoming budget for 2022, which hopefully we'll be able to actually have a parliament for us to have debate over those budgets. And those are issues that we really need to be able to look at and to be able to prepare for. Because as you said, you know, we're not looking just about this epidemic, but also for the pandemics to come. And I have to say that when we are looking in terms of where we are with the healthcare infrastructure today, it's incredibly stretched and it is at full capacity as it is. So I'm very worried that the roadmap today is not thinking enough about those questions, but it's just a really a tick in the box to satisfy a lot of people have been demanding what is the plan, what is the way forward, how does the future look like?
Azrul, coming back to something you said a little bit earlier about this roadmap, you said that it's optimistic but unrealistic. And I'm just wondering where it's unrealistic. You talked a bit about the, you know, being fully vaccinated, having received two doses. But what else are the stumbling blocks, you reckon, to achieving the markers in this roadmap? I'm just wondering, I mean, have we taken into account variants and supply of vaccine? Are we thinking about, you know, herd immunity, which includes non-citizen population, migrant populations?
Well, you know, Melissa, you know, unfortunately, I don't see anything really different here in this recovery plan. If you took the MCO, the CMCO, the RMCO from last year, and you put them all together in a flow chart, this is essentially what you have, except that we now have the added element of the vaccination drive in this particular case. This time, we're not guessing or trying to speculate what the goalposts are for the different stages, although we are trying to find out what moderate or sufficient ICU beds refer to. And it also, we have to be able to look at this plan in cognizant of some of the challenges that are coming ahead, especially on the issue of variants. Variants have already put a spanner into the UK's own exit plan, which it was supposed to by next week to be able to exit and go back to so-called normalcy. But now they're having to postpone for at least another month because of the issue of variants being much more aggressive and is currently dominating and perhaps even causing another surge of new cases in the UK. So we need to be able to look at some of these other issues, which could actually have a strong influence on whether or not we're going to be able to achieve these sort of indicators that the government has outlined. Now, it's important for us to learn from other countries because they are already going through what we are going to go through in the near future. And we're nowhere near the UK, US or Singapore for that matter.
Okay, Azrul, very quickly, what are the remaining policy blind spots do you think that need to be addressed urgently, this recovery plan notwithstanding?
Well, one of the blind spots I see, and certainly something of a consternation for public health specialists right now, is this seemingly prosecution of migrant workers, migrant communities, which seem to exclude them from the ongoing vaccination effort. And it's important to include them, to provide them with the reassurance and the trust to enable for them to also be vaccinated. And I think this is a very problematic point because you cannot talk about herd immunity without also including some of these other populations which are irregular, who do not have ICs, who are stateless, who are in rural areas and so forth. So we need to be able to be realistic about targets. We need to also speak to the issue of not leaving anyone behind, and most importantly, to be able to look at the policies that are able to build beyond the current epidemic and something that is inclusive for all. So it's a problem right now when the policies from the government are excluding people from vaccination programs.
Azrul, thank you. Always a pleasure speaking with you. That was Azrul Mohamed Khalid from the Gallen Centre. We're going to take a quick break after this. More on the National Recovery Plan. Stay tuned.